No, you don't even have to bang your gavel. You don't have your gavel.
Glad you're here. Before we officially begin the business of the day, just a few announcements. There's no clapping in the chamber. We try to keep the chamber as welcoming to alternative points of view as possible. But if you do have a physical or emotional need to express yourself, then you can do, what are these called? Jazz hands? Fire fingers, jazz hands. What was that? And if you don't like something, you're free to do this. No signs are allowed in the city council chambers that rise above your chin. And under local law, if you're a lobbyist, defined as if you speak for or authorized to speak for a business or an organization, then you need to note that as part of introducing yourself. Your self-introduction is only your name, that possible declaration. We don't want your address. We don't want your phone number. The clock in front of you counts down from 3, and we're really glad that you're here. If I could have Andy and Tammy and Amy, and we'll start with those three. I'm really pleased today to recognize the, is the right proclamation?
Yes, it is. No.
I'm really glad to recognize you do this as I walk. The Small Business Advisory Council was a creation a number of years ago, a joint effort between the Office of Mayor Vera Katz and the Office of City Commissioner Jim Francisconi. It was something that I provided staff support on and felt very strongly about, given that such a high percentage of our economy rests on the shoulders of not just medium-sized businesses, not just small businesses, but much more than a lot of other locales, very small businesses. Mm. And that's great, because small businesses, I think, are the engines of innovation. They can be very family-friendly. When you're not working at them, you might have a few minutes with your family, or you open a business that is actually serving families, as Tony does. But we're really glad you're here today, and I'm pleased to read this proclamation, this fancy proclamation for Entrepreneur Week. Whereas the vast majority of net new jobs created throughout the United States in the past decade have come from the creative efforts of entrepreneurs and small businesses, and whereas entrepreneurship is vital to Portland's growth and prosperity, and whereas the Partnership for 21st Century Skills identified entrepreneurial literacy skills as one of the 21st century content areas critical to the success in communities and workplaces, and whereas more than 70% of young Americans envision starting a business or doing something entrepreneurial as adults, and whereas a broad coalition of partner organizations in Oregon and throughout the United States are actively engaging in enhancing entrepreneurial opportunities through collaboration and cooperation with the National Consortium of Entrepreneurship Education, and whereas encouraging youth to be excited about entrepreneurship and working to expand the knowledge, skills, and attitudes of Portland's youth and adults to be successful entrepreneurs, which is crucial to the long-term growth of our local city, state, and nation, and whereas the research completed by William Wahlstatt of the University of Nebraska states more than 8 in 10 of the general public, that's 81%, and business owners, 88%, think it is important for the nation's schools to teach students about entrepreneurship, and whereas the United States House of Representatives resolved to recognize the first annual National Entrepreneurship Week on February 24, 2007, and whereas National Entrepreneur Week provides an opportunity to focus on the innovative ways in which entrepreneurship education can bring together the core academic, technical, and problem-solving skills essential for future entrepreneurs and successful workers in future workplaces. Now, therefore, I, Sam Adams, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim the week of February 20th to be Entrepreneurship Week. Congratulations. I need some oxygen. Pretty early, but thank you. Please, we have before us Andy, who's chair of the Small Business Advisory Council, Tammy, who's the director of the Small Business Development Center, and Amy, who's a client of the Small Business Development Center, to tell us a little bit more about sort of the local perspective.
Thank you. Benjamin Franklin once said that without continual growth and progress, such words as improvement, achievement, and success have no meaning. This continual growth and progress is really what we are celebrating today. The business ecosystem cannot survive successfully without them. The vast majority of new jobs and innovation come from the entrepreneur and small business. SBAC has long recognized this economic engine. Over the last year, the Small Business Advisory Council, with the intention of growth and progress, has worked very hard to solidify our membership and relationships and our partnerships. The partnerships between the APNBA, the PBA, the SBDC, Mercy Corps, and others has never been stronger, resulting in the ability to literally reach thousands of small businesses with the touch of a button. We recently came together to encourage you all to vote for additional funding that would directly benefit small business development and in turn help build a strong foundation to our economy. Our organizations and the thousands of small businesses in our city recognize that for us to have a healthy community, we need to have a healthy economy. I'll end with a quote from one of America's most successful entrepreneurs, Henry Ford. Coming together is beginning, keeping together is progress, working together is success. This summarizes the main objective for the new leadership of SBAC and the other organizations representing small business in Portland. To tell us a little bit more about small business development, I want to introduce Tammy Marquez-Oldman, Director of the Small Business Development Center.
Thank you very much. Good morning, and thank you for making time for this very important testimony. As Director of the Small Business Development Center at Portland Community College, I'm pleased to report to you all that small business are creating jobs. We have the benefit of seeing that every day in the work that we do. I think the what is important, that jobs are created by small business, but I think equally important is how that's being done. What I've learned over the last 5 years in my capacity at the Small Business Development Center is that it truly is an investment made on the part of the small business development practitioner combined with the commitment of the small business owner towards their own growth and development. I have yet to meet a small business that operates without a person, and therefore our center focuses heavily on entrepreneur development. We begin there. From there, we're able to help foster the growth and development of the person who is then able to grow their business and create jobs. This last year in 2010, the Small Business Development Center's entrepreneurs created and retained 440 jobs. The year before that, it was 229, and when I reported that to Sam, I was quite proud of that number. I'm very proud of the 440. Those small business owners, 130 of them, increased their sales by $7.9 million.
Over what period?
2010. Wow. January to December, year over year.
In this recession, that's amazing.
Amazing. And they also access capital in the total amount of $2.4 million. We're very focused on this economic impact, but we're also focused on how that occurs. It is the combination of small business education with ongoing, active, committed small business advising that makes these results possible. I think it's one thing to hear the story from me as the director of the center, but I think more importantly, to hear it from the entrepreneur who is impacted by the work at the SBDC. So I'd like to turn this presentation over to Amy Boggs, the owner of Sparkling Palaces.
Thank you. My name is Amy Boggs. We run an eco-friendly house cleaning company, so we do residential cleaning in the Portland area. And my story is I've been running this business for 8 years. I started
What's the name of your business?
Oh, Sparkling Palaces.
And does it have a website?
Mm-hmm. Sparklingpalaces.com.
Any sales or anything going on this week? Think about it.
we just passed Valentine, so we were doing it for Valentine. So we're gearing up for spring cleaning right now. That's what we're doing. But I started when I was 20, so I've had the business for 8 years. And my story is I dropped out of college. I couldn't do higher education. I just couldn't cut it. And looking back now, I'm actually not convinced that I have a high school diploma. But cleaning houses was an option for me at 20 years old. And I have this crazy passion, like I love to clean. I'm a person who loves to clean. And so I was cleaning houses and somebody said, like, Amy, you should make a business of this. And so I tried. I really tried. For 6 years, I was not only doing the technical work, but trying to run the business. And I was bringing in partners to help me clean. And it was like, you know, my brother. It was a disaster. So when I walked into the doors of the SBDC, I didn't have any sort of formal system for tracking our clients, for being able to schedule, I was scared of taxes. There was all this stuff that I didn't know, having no experience, having not gone to college. And so over the past 2 years, they immediately plugged me into the small business management classes, and I started getting immediate advising because I needed lots of help. Because I think what the reality is the advisors saw something in me. They saw a passion, and they just needed to help point me in the right direction and give me the tools and resources that I could immediately start applying in my business. And so for what that looks like for us today is that we have an incredible system that tracks our clients, does scheduling, does payroll, dumps it into QuickBooks. We pay taxes. It's amazing. And the part that, and I never thought we would be able to, I would even understand what that is. So I've learned about our business entity. And the biggest hurdle for me was, how on earth am I going to hire employees? Because I'm the technical person. People want Amy to come clean their house. How am I ever going to get an employee to do my job out there? So now we have a robust hiring system, and we have a training program that gives folks the tools that they need in order to be successful in the business. And the greatest compliment I get now is that my employees, my sparklers, are better cleaners than I am. We've had clients that long that say, I like Kristen better. So that has been the success of working with the small business, and I lean on them a lot. So I get a lot of advising from them because it's so hard being an entrepreneur and going through everything that we go through. So much of my personality is intrinsic to my business, so it has to succeed for me. And so I lean on them a lot because I know that they believe in me. And one thing that Tammy said that was so useful, and I heard this at the very beginning, was I was so wrapped up in, what is my business going to do? How are we going to be successful? And she said, Amy, your business is just a vehicle to get you where you want to go in your life. So today, we're building a business that could be franchised, that could be sold. I could actually take a vacation at some point. Not in the near future, but, you know, soon. And that's, I wouldn't have had any of those tools or resources without the SBDC. And I'm just sitting here feeling incredibly grateful. And it's an honor to share my story.
I think this deserves a round of applause.
Yeah. How much is a house that's approximately 948 square feet? And
why is the city attorney beginning to perspire so heavily?
That is neglected. Congratulations. Just a very inspiring story, and keep at it.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
We now will hear from our two other invited panelists. If they would please come forward. Wherever then. Do we have two more? John and I have too many papers, I apologize. John.
Joanna.
And Joanna.
Joanna.
Welcome. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
And that block of wood moves forward.
Are you, pardon?
The block of wood moves, so you can move it forward a little bit if you need to.
So I'm John Haynes, Executive Director of Mercy Corps Northwest. And I'll be very brief. You know, I'm predisposed not to come in here and speak, but I put on a tie really to support Joanna and this vision for this collaboration. I think we do need deeper, broader, more substantial collaboration to address some of the economic challenges we face and opportunities. Joanna is a great example of somebody that, one, could get in here this morning, and two, is building a microenterprise that started from scratch. And it's in a traded sector. She's selling all over the United States, employing people in Portland. And I'll defer my time to her and also just applaud the partners that have pulled us in. We're not driving this partnership or collaboration, but really are pleased to be involved with this group. So thank
but I
you.
Do, before we hear from Joanna, want to take the opportunity to you personally and to also to Mercy Corps Northwest for the work that you do on a micro-enterprise basis and a whole host of other ways. Your international work sort of eclipses a lot of the work you do in your own backyard. And so thank you.
Thank you.
Joanna.
Well, I'm very honored that John invited me to come. And actually, the last time I was sitting here, I was a project manager for PDOT.
Oh.
And I was really inspired to start my own business back in 2006. It really, really tugged at me. So one night I developed a business plan, and I started Four Seasons Container Gardens. And we design and install container gardens in Portland in businesses and residential properties, and I love it. What I fell into was a big problem, and that was the weight issue on rooftops and decks for these containers, where they get so heavy because you're putting so much soil in there and just the weight of them, that it was really creating a big problem. So when I didn't find anything out there that I liked, I went and I invented a product called Packing Pearls. And it's a lightweight filler for pots. It's recyclable, reusable. It lasts for years and can be used over and over again. And as I invented that, I sat there going, well, I need some cash, you know, for the raw materials and everything. And so I was working, I was going through a program at the SBDC. And they helped me develop a business plan. And they took me over to Mercy Corps Northwest. And this was in a time where no one was giving out loans. I mean, no one. I mean, none of the banks were. This was in December of 08. And I presented my business plan to them, and they believed in my product, and they liked what they saw, and they gave me a business loan to buy all the raw materials and everything that I needed to pursue this. And I have a patent pending on it right now, as a matter of fact, so I'm quite proud of it. So basically what happened this past year was quite incredible. We were featured in Better Homes and Gardens. We were awarded an award in sustainability at a very important show for independent garden centers. And we were also published in a garden book for not only our designs but also for Packing Pearls. We have I've secured distribution in Canada. And I have sales to Australia and requests from Great Britain for this product. So I didn't realize, here I thought I was, you know, solving a problem for my clients, and I didn't realize how important this problem was worldwide. And I also now have vendor contracts. We've been put on the vendor list for construction projects in New York and the Midwest. And locally, which is what I'm really most proud about, is I purchased 90% of my materials from the Portland local businesses. And I employ 7 people right now for assembly, along with the developmentally disabled, disadvantaged clients at Edwards Enterprises. They help put the kits together. It's a wonderful relationship that I have with them. And in 2010 alone, my sales increased by 300%. So I'm very thankful to Mercy Corps. I came to them for a loan, but they, and the SBDC, they gave me so much more. They gave me their vote of confidence, which meant the world to me. And I come to them, and they have wonderful programs that they set up that I always am engaging in, because there's so much to learn. You know, as the previous speaker spoke, there's just so much to do and learn. And it really makes me feel like I'm totally not alone. And I'm very excited because we're starting to go through another growth spurt. So I expect to see more, hire on more people in the Portland area and hire more raw materials. And just in closing, my the most wonderful vision I, the experience I had, one of many, was when I first went to order, I developed a product called Drain Shields. And I went into the local company who makes them for me. And I shook his hand. It was the first time I had purchased, you know, something that I had invented and he made. And I shook his hand and I looked around, and it really dawned on me that I was really having an effect, you know, on these people's lives. And so it's been a great experience, and I'm very excited to be here. And I just want to thank Mercy Corps so much and the SBDC for everything they've done for me. Thank you.
And where can people find your product online?
Well, I have brochures here if you'd like.
That would be great. But tell our five listening people watching on TV if you would.
Oh, yes. Well, it's www.packingpearls, P-A-C-K-I-N-G, pearls, P-E-A-R-L-S.com. And you can order there. We also sell to local garden centers, to which there's a list there that great. Has that. So.
Congratulations. I think another round of applause.
Thank you.
That's great.
Thank you.
And since I think possibly not everybody will stay for the entire fascinating proceedings this morning, I want to note that in the winter budget adjustment that we'll be voting on later, the mayor has put in $150,000 for small business working capital. So we are not only recognizing your accomplishments through this proclamation, but also adding more money, because that's a pretty impressive number, $7.8 million for the investment that was made in previous years. So thank you very much for all your work.
And more to come. So thank you. All right. The City Council will now come to order. We are not offended. If you need to get back to business, you can just pick up and leave. We really appreciate this very much. Today is Wednesday, February 16th, 2011. It's 9:30 a.m. Good morning, Carla.
Good morning.
Can you please call the roll?
Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman. Leonard.
Here.
Adams.
Communications is the first order of business. Can you read the first item?
Item 146, request of Richard L. Meyer to address council regarding raising property taxes.
Mr. L. Meyer.
An individual here?
Yes.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. L. Meyer. Welcome back.
My name is Richard L. Meyer. The adult bankers, brokers, and barons of Wall Street decried accountability and mismanaged their businesses so badly that they caused a massive, disruptive, and painful recession in our country. The adults running America's biggest car companies avoided accountability and mismanaged their businesses so badly that they, like their Wall Street brethren, also needed to be bailed out by us, taxpayers. Closer to home, the adults in charge of the Portland Public Schools plead for a bailout to deflect accountability for their mismanagement of public money. After years of adult mismanagement of public funds by the Portland City Council, it cried for public safety and bamboozled just enough voters to pay for their fiscal sleight of hand and budgetary cowardice. Public monies that should have been regularly budgeted to the Fire Bureau maintenance and capital replacement were surreptitiously diverted to other expenditures until the bill finally came due. The Portland Public School, seeing success at covering up the Fire Bureau's fraudulent financial failure, saw a winning strategy. All their scheme needed was a change of slogan to "For the Kids." This issue is not about kids. It's about adult mismanagement of public funds. Every argument against the PPS tax increase is based upon this fundamental fact. Our demonstration in front of Portland City Hall today will send several messages. One, the Portland Public Schools, the City of Portland, Multnomah County, and Portland's legislative delegation in Salem are put on notice that adult mismanagement of public funds includes a failure to include in an annual public budget true maintenance and capital replacement costs and unfunded liabilities. B, diverting any monies allocated to maintenance and capital replacement costs to any other expenditures. Number two, raising new taxes in Portland, recognized as being one of the hardest hit cities in the world by this recession, with the highest property taxes in Oregon, a state with more than 10% unemployment, is a very, very, very bad idea. The heaviest economic burden, as always, will fall on the poor and low income, a group the Portland Public School Board has denied exemption, proving PPS's institutional opposition to progressive taxation. Democracy is not a spectator sport. We can defeat the outrageous and insulting PPS proposed tax increase, but we need to take organized public action to do it. Please join us outside Portland City Hall today, Wednesday, February 16th, from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. to publicly encourage Portlanders to vote no on the PPS tax hikes in May. Bring a sign, your lunch, and your sense of humor. Satisfy your need to do something to stop the adults who have mismanaged our public funds and now want us to pay for it again. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony. Can you please read the title for communications item number 147?
Request of Barry Joe Stahl to address council regarding free Camp David W. Crowther.
Welcome back.
Good morning. I'm Barry Joe Stahl. Free Camp David W. Crowther was my project in the way I've pranked Portland for decades now. One of the things we did, you might remember, was we camped out on Pioneer Courthouse Square because we were anticipating the gay pride parade, and there's an exception in the anti-camping ordinance if you're waiting for a parade. I founded Free Camp David W. Crowther, and I named it after a notorious Portland police scandal. In the Portland Tribune, I just researched this online the other day, Scott Deppe, quote, was convicted of using forged prescriptions to obtain narcotics. Deppe admitted that he and Crowther had brought drugs with them to the St. John's Club and club to plant on the bikers. Neil Gearhart admitted he had fabricated information justifying the search warrant. Well, they cooked up this search warrant, and they went in to plant dope, and Officer Crowther was fatally shot and killed. We have a $50 million mothballed Wapato jail in this county. We have thousands of people sleeping outside. I've browbeat counsel to no end about the extrajudicial mugging that came as a consequence of my landlord bringing an eviction case, locking me out illegally, destroying my property, my research for my book, basically beating me out of $250,000. I'm not happy with it. So I drew attention to the fact that we have a housing crisis, we have PGE Park turned into a soccer stadium, and we have hundreds of people sleeping outside right now in this weather. That's shameful because we can house the Clydesdales when they come to Waterfront Park. So I want to draw your attention to the fact that we have a statewide mandate to have an anti-camping ordinance. And that grew out of a case where Judge Gallagher heard the Norm and Norm Jr. I remember Norm Jr. came when I was working with student government at Portland Community College to ask how he could do his homework because he lived in the back of the pickup truck, which was their plight. And Judge Gallagher ruled that the anti-camping ordinance, the way it was in existence, was unconstitutional, and that 1995 legislature had a mandate that the municipalities, like ours, have a policy to address the social problem caused by camping on public property. There is an exception, however, for a permitted campsite. There's nothing stopping us from allowing people to have some semblance of shelter and dignity. The only thing that's stopping it is the absolute mean-spiritedness and the absolute bankrupt policies that you all know that I know all too much about. So I would draw your attention to it. I'll give this to Carla, and I'll see you all. And by the way, the little hotties hand warmers are saving lives right now, and I would be ashamed. Ken Lloyd calls them up, and they know every year that he's buying them because we have homeless people sleeping outside in this weather. Thank you.
Barrier's time.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I'd also encourage you, because you do a lot of research, and I'd encourage you to research how much the local governments in the four-county area each spend of their own money on service. Nope, you're done with the mic.
Letting you know that I'm listening to you.
How many
Mike.
how much money each local government, including county and cities within the four-county area, how much of their own money they spend on affordable housing and homeless services. Do that research and come back and talk to me.
I'm sleeping outside.
Do the research. Come back to talk to me.
Come to my camp. You're welcome.
Do the research. We'll hear now from item number 148.
Request of David Yandell to address council regarding drug dealing on 6th Avenue.
Mr. Yandell. Okay. All right. Moving on to the consent agenda. Does anyone have any item to pull from the consent agenda? I have, I guess, noted two have been pulled, 156 to the regular and 158 for an amendment. If you want to read those. Do you read those before we pull
them?
We pull them both and then
we're going to take 150, the amendment. Do you want to do that before?
No.
Okay, so we'll read them when we take them.
Okay, great. Any other items to pull from the consent agenda? All right, please call the vote on the consent agenda.
Fritz?
I didn't want to pull this because I'm very happy about it. There's an item 153 is an intergovernment agreement to accept $700,000 from Metro to create a concept plan for the Barber Corridor. I do note that it has several thousand dollars in contract provisions, and I would encourage the Bureau of Planning Sustainability to engage neighborhood groups and community groups in those contracts. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. We have a time certain. At 9:30 time certain for, so we're a little far behind. Can you please read the title for ordinance, budget adjustment, item number 149?
Adopt budget adjustment recommendations and the supplemental budget for the fiscal year 2010-11 winter supplemental budget process and make budget adjustments in various funds.
Morning.
Morning, Mr. Scott.
My name is Andrew Scott. I'm the financial planning manager for the city. What we're considering today is the winter budget monitoring process. Again, we do three of these budget adjustments a year. We've already done the fall. This is the winter, and we'll do one in the spring come this May. The winter bump adjusts 43 funds by a total of $25.9 million. On the general fund side, it appropriates $2.4 million to capital projects. This was money that the council had set aside in the fall bump to deal with some immediate capital needs. It sends $800,000 of compensation set aside to the Police Bureau for hiring. This was also set aside by council in the fall bump, and we're now appropriating it to the Police Bureau. And finally, it makes a $222,000 net adjustment to the general fund contingency. About $727,000 is actually spent out of contingency, but $504,000 is put back in for that net $222,000. We had a work session on this last week on February 8th, so I won't go through the details. However, I just want to note the major changes from the work session to now for what was filed. There were a number of capital program changes, and those are detailed in an Exhibit 3, where we finally ended up on that after the council conversation. And then finally, graffiti abatement was funded at $130,000 for ONI and $40,000 for the Police Bureau.
And discussion, and I have a minor amendment to propose for council's consideration.
I have an amendment also.
Why don't you go ahead?
The cable broadband request was unfunded. I've been able to reduce it from $55,000 to $45,000 by a generous donation from Comcast to fund outreach to underrepresented communities. We had the kickoff a few weeks ago in this chamber, a couple of weeks ago, and it was filled with enthusiastic people from all kinds of backgrounds wanting to get this broadband plan done. My son teaches at Marshall High School, and he certainly experiences the digital divide there, where not all the students have access to internet services, which many of us take for granted. And so I believe that getting this plan done, which will then offer us a strategy for breaching that digital divide, is the best way to go. And so I move that we fund the broadband cable request at $45,000.
For purposes of discussion, I'll second the amendment.
Moved and seconded.
For discussion.
For discussion.
You'll note that I have not requested money to hire back any of the over 150 people laid off at the Bureau of Development Services. and specifically in areas dealing with neighborhood enforcement of nuisances, such as abandoned cars, abandoned houses, some of which have become attractive nuisances because of their long-standing vacancy, which are now housing, according to particularly in North Precinct, drug dealers, drug users. And while I appreciate the sentiment Commissioner Fritz brings with this amendment, I don't think this is an appropriate time nor an appropriate allocation given the variety of needs that we have at the city. I don't have a problem with the intent. I do have a problem with this coming at the last minute. It's not something I can support given the needs that I hear from neighbors daily around the city about our lack of enforcement of basic nuisance laws due to lack of funding. So I'd recommend that this worthy project Commissioner Fritz is supporting be rolled into the budget discussions for July 1, as I plan to do in the request that I would like to make to restore some of our nuisance inspectors at BDS.
The plan's already underway, and the council approved that. We want to get it done in a more expedited fashion in order to be able to start implementing the improvements and fold in that plan into the Portland plan.
So the value proposition of doing it now, the biggest benefit is?
Just the excitement that's already been generated. Each of your offices sends a delegate to this steering committee, and I think it's a well thought out, strategically efficient plan to deal with this important problem.
Okay. Let's please call the vote.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
No.
Adams.
Aye. Amendment is approved. My motion is to restore the ask on graffiti. My fear is that there's every indication that graffiti is on the rise. Our existing efforts are not keeping up with the increase.
So I will just note that this does include $130,000 for ONI for graffiti and $40,000 for the Police Bureau, bump that was filed.
I withdraw my motion.
Thank you for supporting that effort. And we did have a conversation last week at the work session regarding whether this should be done in the general budget process. In talking with the mayor, the need is definitely urgent. And I think we're doing, with one police officer and one graffiti specialist in ONI, we've been doing well. We're still behind, and the problems generally get worse during a recession, and they do contribute to other nuisances in neighborhoods, the presence of graffiti. So we have a multiple pronged strategy to involve more volunteers, which again at the work session we noted that the volunteer efforts have increased many times over the past year, and that's been successful. It has to be partnered with city staff doing the enforcement part, notifying property owners of their responsibilities and also offering those volunteers to help.
So unless there are objections from council, could the folks that are working most directly on graffiti please stand up and introduce yourselves? Marsha, that's you, all of you.
Officer Matt Miller, I'm a graffiti investigator.
Sorry, good luck to Olivia. That's
boss. And I'm Marsha Dennis.
So thank you all very much for your work. This scares the heck out of people, and it's a crime and a blight on the city. And I especially, Marsha, how long have you had the position? You're obviously, you've got a little bit of help, but the city relies on the success of you doing your job on this issue more than I think anyone understands. And I hope I speak for everybody when I say to all of you, thank you very much. Well, you're going to get it now. Yeah. Any other discussion on the proposal in front of us? Okay, does anyone wish to testify on item?
Mayor, I think we need to open the hearing.
Okay, according to the Oregon State Budget Law, ORS 294.480, I open a hearing on the fiscal year 2010-2011 winter supplemental budget. Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify?
We have four people signed up. Please come on up. Amy Boggs, Marta Bones, and Bruce Silverman.
Amy was with Proclamation.
Then let's have Joanna Gazzetta.
Welcome. Glad you're here. You just need to give us your first and last name.
Hi, Mr. Mayor and City Council. My name is Bruce Silverman. I'm a regional vice president for Whole Foods Market, Pacific Northwest, and I'm responsible for the stores in the Portland area. I came to just speak on in support of the nonprofit grocery in New Columbia neighborhood. Our company's mission is to bring the freshest and best tasting natural foods to our customers, and certainly part of that mission is to see those kind of products available in neighborhoods that are underserved. And I know the New Columbia neighborhood is, in particular, is an underserved neighborhood as far as grocery stores close by. And I had the opportunity, I work with the Food Initiative Advisory Council, and had the opportunity to meet Charles, who is helping set up this store in New Columbia recently. And we held a meeting at the store. It's an inspirational effort that they're putting on. I simply wanted to come as a businessman in town and lend my support to the grocery store. I've personally told them that I'd be happy to advise them and help them, build a strong foundation for success.
Thank you, sir. How's the Hollywood store doing?
In what way?
Sales.
Growing. We're doing very well, and we're on a good growth curve.
Good. It's a great store.
Thank you.
Mayor, this gentleman and his company recently did a cooking demonstration in Director Park, teaching people how to do healthy food. And we had quite a robust turnout, and so we appreciate.
Did you help?
I ate, actually, yes.
He helped.
I think they're called Flash. We call them Flash.
Flash Kitchen.
Flash Kitchens. Oh. And they're doing it around the city, teaching people how to do healthy cooking.
That's great.
So. Pop-up cooking schools. What? So we do 12 a year.
So we appreciate that partnership.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Hi.
Morning. My name is Marta Bones, and I'm the executive director at Pittock Mansion. And I'm here on behalf of the Pittock Mansion Society board and staff to thank you for your support. And since 1968, the collaborative relationship between the city and society has effectively brought the strengths of both to bear for the benefit of the mansion and thousands of local and national visitors. As you know, the society assumed responsibility for the day-to-day operations of the mansion in 2007. Since then, we've laid a strong foundation for basic operations and adopted a strategic plan that will guide our work for the next few years. As part of that process, we refined our mission statement to expand our focus from the Pittock family to Portland history. Our mission is to inspire understanding and stewardship of Portland history through Pittock Mansion, its collection, and programs. Our strategic goals will help ensure the mansion remains a vital part of the community. These include offering in-depth experiences like our behind-the-scenes tour and Spring Break Kids Camp, updating our program for third grade students so it meets current curriculum standards, making the visitor experience more interactive, working with the city to address the structural preservation needs, which is very important and particularly close to my heart because the mansion turns 100 in 2014. The budget request included in the winter bump will fund repairs to the terraces surrounding the mansion. The ground level terrace causes me great concern because its stone railing is broken and eroded in sections, making it dangerous to thousands of parkgoers. I'm really pleased that this funding will ensure visitor safety and also appreciate what it will mean for the city and society. As I think about the mansion turning 100 and what it represents, what it means to the city of Portland, I think of Henry and Georgiana's contributions to the city, and I know we're starting an excellent stewardship program to rehabilitate the mansion, which couldn't be achieved without the city and the society working so well together. So thank you for listening to my comments, not only today, but throughout this process leading up to today's vote, particularly you, Commissioner Fish, along with Sari Santner and Park staff, for being open to our concerns and exploring the best ways to address them. Mayor Adams, Commissioner Fritz, Commissioner Leonard, I'm grateful for your support. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And Marta Bonas was recruited for this position, I believe, from Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Where she has a MFA?
No, I have my undergraduate degree in art history.
In art history.
Perfect.
And she is the executive director and works with a very strong board mayor. And a little known fact is that the Pittocks were not only involved with the founding of the Rose Festival, but Mrs. Pittock took an interest in housing and was one of the forces behind what we now call the Martha Washington.
Absolutely.
So they made a great contribution to our community.
And you were very nice to host our Summer Youth Connect, connected by 25 summer school students. And in talking to them, I can guarantee you that they'd never been there. They didn't know it existed.
Right.
They didn't know how they fit into its history. And so your work on improvements for more educational programs is much appreciated.
It was really great to have them. I really enjoyed meeting them.
Marta, thank you for your great work.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to testify? Carla, can you please call the vote?
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
First, I want to thank Andrew and Ken and Claudio and the whole OMF team for the way they manage the winter bump process. This is a lot more complicated than you would think. It's somewhat anticlimactic when we get to this stage, but there's a ton of work that goes on getting all of this material prepared and the debates and the trade-offs, so I want to thank our stellar team for their good work. In particular, I want to thank Mayor Adams for having the vision to set aside $2.4 million for capital projects. And the reality is, our biggest ongoing challenge is finding capital dollars. And in a number of our bureaus, we're falling behind because of the tremendous use of things like our streets and our parks, but the fact that we don't have the capital dollars to keep pace. So even $2.4 million makes a dent in our backlog. So, Sam, thank you for that vision. There's a few people I would like, because there's a number of programs in here that the council supports, I think I just want to call out a few, Mayor, so the public understands what we're doing. The Community Garden Initiative, which is a cornerstone of the City-County Climate Action Plan, calls for 1,000 new gardens by the end of 2012. And the winter bump will be allocating $125,000 for the capital side of that project, which will allow us, I think, to build out an additional 6 gardens this year. I want to specifically thank Sarah Coates Huggins, who is at the Parks Bureau, Abby Warren, and Emily Hicks, who've been working so diligently on our Community Gardens Initiative. Next, just to show you that some of these things are somewhat mundane but important, the $135,000 set aside for East Delta Park will actually help us repair a sewer line that is at risk of breaking. No one, particularly the people that use the fields out there, would prefer that we don't have a sewer line break anytime soon. This is not sexy work, but very important. Last year, the council made a historic commitment to reinvest in Forest Park and to enhance our stewardship. Coming out of 2 reports that issued last year, part of the winter bump adds $190,000 to repairing some culverts in Forest Park that are at risk of eroding. Pittock Mansion, as you've heard from Marta Bonas, is one of our crown jewels of our park system. It's in league with the Japanese Garden, the Lansu Chinese Garden, and many other first-class amenities, but it is 100 years old and in need of repair. So this money will allow us to do some long overdue structural work. The bump also includes $166,000 for Waterfront Park turf renovation. Again, it doesn't sound very sexy, but this will allow us to restore the integrity of the grass and the subsurface in Waterfront Park. And what makes this unique, Mayor, is that you've challenged us to match that from the private sector dollar for dollar. The project will cost over $320,000. We'll be sitting down with all of the people who permit and use the park to ask for private sector contributions so we can do that work this year. And finally, we had testimony on the Village Market. And I'd like to acknowledge that from Janus Youth Village today are Amber Baker and Charles Robertson. Could you please stand? Thank you for joining us. Amber and Charles are part of a community coalition that are trying to bring a grocery store to what the mayor and I refer to as a food desert. There are 3,000 people who live at the New Columbia. They do not have a grocery store that's accessible. And we've had some challenges getting commercial activity on the main street of the New Columbia. And last summer in the main park, there were some challenges, including a shooting. And so as part of a neighborhood revitalization plan that both brings healthy food to people who live there, creates jobs for people in the community, but also puts a presence on an important street corner, eyes and ears on the park, we think this is an innovative idea, Mayor, that in concert with your larger agenda around addressing food deserts around the city would give us another tool to provide healthy food to people. So Amber and Charles, thank you for joining us and for your good work. And the $50,000 we'll be contributing today will be matched by contributions from other local government foundations and private sector to allow them this spring to open the grocery store. So thank you both. And finally, I'd like to acknowledge Fred Cole and the team at Parks, including Zeri and my team, who've been working on prioritizing some of these asks. We have hundreds of millions of dollars of needs on the capital side, and with your support, colleagues, we'll be going out for a capital bond measure in the next couple of years. But in the short term, you've allowed us through this winter bump to fund three of our biggest priorities, which will not only create some jobs, but we'll also meet some longstanding needs. So I'm very appreciative for your support. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Well, as you've heard during the summations before the votes, the resources that we have invested in the community through this bump come from the previous more conservative predictions of what our revenues would be. In other words, we cut sooner and earlier than we had to, in part to be able to fund some of these high priority needs, and almost all of them are matched with community effort or cash. And so I thank you all for all my colleagues and the great city team for being very frugal and leveraging what little money we do have for the best benefit of the city. Aye. It's approved. That gets us to time certain land use appeal, item number 150.
Tentatively deny appeal of East Portland Neighborhood Organization.
And thank you, Bureau of Financial Planning, for your good work. Andrew, Claudio, everybody, Lisa.
Neighborhood Organization Land Use and Transportation Committee and modify hearing officer's decision to approve with conditions the application of the Portland Water Bureau for amendments to the 2003 Powell Butte Conditional Use Master Plan, environmental review and adjustments for construction of water system, park facility, and trail improvements at 15800 Southeast Powell Boulevard, LU 1019463, CUMSENAD.
Hi, welcome back.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Sylvia Kate with the Bureau of Development Services. And with me today is Stacy Castleberry. We were the assigned planners for this land use review. You'll recall that the Council heard the appeal on the Powell Butte Master Plan Amendment Environmental Review and Adjustments on February 3rd at 2 p.m. The Council agreed with arguments of the appellant on 2 points and directed staff to return to Council on February 16th with revised findings and 2 conditions of approval, one to address safety and one to demonstrate that state and federal permits have been obtained prior to building permit issuance. These revised findings and conditions of approval are presented in the findings and conclusions document before Council. Since that document was sent to you, staff has provided an addendum today which adds more specificity to the condition of approval to develop an emergency notification plan and includes a map of the hazard notification area.
I'd like to move that amendment.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Any council discussion? Do I need another person? Am I good with three?
We're good with three for this.
Okay. Please call the vote on the proposed amendment.
Aye.
Sorry.
That's an anxious aye.
That is
Leonard?
An anxious aye.
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Amendment is approved. Can we go with 3 on the full vote? Yes? Okay. Unless there is anyone that wishes to testify on item number 150, please call the vote. You do want to testify?
Yeah, I decided to.
Great.
Linda Bauer, resident of Pleasant Valley. I hope that this map that's being entered into the record is draft, because this property right here is built on a huge fill and will never...
I can't see what you're pointing at.
This property right here is built on a huge fill and will never, ever flood, but it's in within the boundary. And 2 properties down is a USGS monitoring system complete with solar and everything, and they are not scheduled for notification. So if the draft is map, I mean, if the map is draft, then staff from POMA can bring people in and let people out as they see fit.
So the legislative intent is to, that's illustrative, right. Providing staff the authority to make the changes as needed in finalizing the notification system. So
thank
that
you all very much.
We will over notify to err on the safe side.
Thank you very much.
Is that a fair?
That's fair. I wanted Tom Carter with the Water Bureau, and this was the starting point for notification. It's not intended to be the ending point, as you noted. POEM will be working with the residents, is my understanding.
And we'll make sure, Linda, you and other expertise, that you'll see it as we finalize it, to make sure that, because you really know this part of the city really well. Ma'am?
Good morning. Catherine Beaumont, City Attorney's Office. May I suggest that for purposes of clarity, you have that what you'd be voting on today would be a motion to deny the appeal, to uphold the hearings officer's decision as modified and with the additional condition that's been proposed, and to adopt the findings that have been presented to you today.
So move.
Second. Thank you. Been moved and seconded. Unless anyone wants to testify on the motion. That was helpful. Carla, would you please call the vote?
Fritz.
Thank you very much, Catherine Beaumont and the City Attorney's Office. Thank you also to the Water Bureau staff, and thank you to Linda Bauer and the Pleasant Valley Neighborhood Association and others who were here last week. This it has been a good process, and I appreciate having the appeal before council. As discussed at the hearing, I believe the hearings officer erred in interpreting the appellant's argument as meaning that engineering was the solution to the problem, rather than meeting that portion of the criterion which deals with safety and livability of nearby residential lands. The revised findings and condition now represent a more site-specific measure associated with this development that assists the local residents in addressing an emergency plan for notification should an emergency warrant evacuation. This is a site-specific problem, which I believe is a reasonable response to the issue of the tank failing during an earthquake or other possible emergency where the tank will need to be rapidly discharged. And I also appreciate the work of the Portland Office of Emergency Management in partnering in the ongoing plan for this, and commit, of course, the resources of the Office of Neighborhood Involvement to that effort. I believe that the findings now represent a more defensible position for the city in regard to meeting the livability criteria associated with the conditional use approval, and this really shows the benefit of the conditional use process in being able to target site-specific solutions that meet everybody's needs. Thank you to all of the staff and everybody involved. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. So approved. That gets us to the items that were polled.
We used pickles. You said we picked those.
Oh, that's right. That gets us to the regular agenda. I miss a week, and I've lost all memory of process. All right. Can you please do the item for 167? Second reading and call the vote.
Vacate a portion of Southeast Bush Street and a portion of Southeast 100th Avenue, subject to certain conditions and reservations, and designate a portion of Portland Parks and Recreation property for water facility purposes.